Over these next four Sundays, I've chosen readings from the Psalms indicated in the lectionary as the scriptures for each of these Sundays. Each of these Psalms makes a claim about the nature of God or the intentions of God or the work of God. For each Sunday, I'm going to take a central affirmation from that particular Psalm and then turn it around into a question with these additional thoughts. Do we really believe these affirmations from the Psalms? If we do, what testimony would we give in support of these affirmations? If we don't believe these affirmations, or if we're struggling to believe these affirmations, what doubts or disappointments are still caught in us? So the Psalms and the affirmations turned into questions for this Sunday and the next three are as follows. Today, from Psalm 107, God's steadfast love endures forever. Then the following Sunday, from Psalm 50, God shines forth. Then from Psalm 82, God gives justice. And then from Psalm 71, God rescues us from the hand of the wicked. Each of those statements, God's steadfast love endures forever, God shines forth, God gives justice, God rescues us from the hand of the wicked, gets turned into a question with permission given to ask, can I really affirm such a thing? If so, why? If not, why not? So this morning we begin with Psalm 107 and the statement, God's steadfast love endures forever. It shows up in one form or another three times in the scripture for this morning. In verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. In verse 8, let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. And in verse 43, let those who are wise give heed to these things and consider the steadfast love of the Lord. We look at that statement, God's steadfast love endures forever, and we turn it around by asking it instead of stating it. God's steadfast love endures forever? Really? Is it true? Do we feel it? Do we experience it? Do we believe it? Could we prove it? The Psalms are interesting in that they are full of affirmations and declarations about the nature of God, the presence of God, the work of God in the world. But at the same time, the Psalms are also full of questions. People call out, cry out to God. There are a few places in Scripture where the writer so often asks a question or cries out, offering up doubt or desperation. And there is often a kind of vulnerability, a kind of naked vulnerability in the questioning. Do you remember Jesus on the cross crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's actually a quote from the Psalms. From Psalm 22, the Psalms are full of affirmations, yes, but they're also full of questions, of wondering, of doubt even. Today, the matter at hand is steadfast love. God's love is steadfast and endures forever. Or is it? Does it? Are we held in such love forever, constantly, consistently? Maybe one place to start with that is to think about what steadfast love looks like. What do you know about steadfast love? It's tempting to skip right over onto the term unconditional love and to set that down in place of steadfast love. And indeed, it would be best to keep those two in the same chamber of our hearts, unconditional love and steadfast love. But unconditional love is not necessarily the same thing as steadfast love. Unconditional is without condition. Steadfast is more like without interruption, without distraction, without end. Maybe it's like this, I love you no matter what is the statement of unconditional love, while the statement of steadfast love is, I love you forever. Forever, as I said with the children, is a hard thing to think about. Most everything we know is not forever. Everything around us has beginnings and endings. Every form of life is born and dies. The physical, tangible parts of our lives do not have a forever quality. Nothing stays around forever. Nothing stays the same forever. We as physical, mortal bodies are not a living form that is forever. But what about things not physical? What about memories, for example? Do those last forever? I was thinking about that as we were cleaning out things in our house in preparation for the townwide garage sale this past Friday and Saturday. There were things on shelves that seemed to have been there forever, even though in reality it's not forever, of course. It's only as long as we've lived in this house. But there are also things that we put out for sale from our previous house, and things that I brought into our household from my childhood, and even more things that I did not sell, but I still have, a box of things in the garage that I retrieved from my parents' house after they died. Some of those things are things that they saved from earlier times in their lives or from their parents. And what's happened now? What's happened is that I have things that go back further than my own memory. I have things that have outlasted my knowledge of the stories behind them. It's a reminder that there is nothing in those boxes in my garage that has the quality of forever. Not even in physicality, nor in memory, nor in meaning. But God's steadfast love endures forever. If there is something, if there is anything that I might stake my hopes on when it comes to endurance, when it comes to forever, I think it would be love. Especially the love of those who are closest to me. I like to think that my love for my spouse, for my children, is of the sort that lasts forever, that it is so embedded by now in who I am, that it is steady and continuous, uninterrupted, unthreatened by any outside force, unwavering. And I'd like to think that someday, if my children have children of their own, they will suddenly and fully understand the nature of a parent's steadfast love for a child. I remember that moment in my own life when my first child was born, and suddenly I had an epiphany. I understood what my parents felt toward me. The all-in, no matter what, forever and always investment of their hearts. Steadfast love that endures forever. When someone dies, we talk sometimes about love that crosses over that threshold between this life and the next, how love is not limited to this world, that it keeps living even after the person we have loved is no longer living. You are familiar not only with such talk, but with such feelings, right? How love endures, lives on. So we have some ideas about these things, some thoughts about love, some hopes about our own love relationships. And maybe if we put a question mark at the end of the statement, God's steadfast love endures forever, it's not that we don't believe that love endures forever. Maybe it's that we are sometimes not so sure that God loves us that way, that long, that continuously, that completely. I mean, we talk often enough about God's love, God's eternal loving presence. We talk about it, we sing about it, we preach about it, but do we believe it? Or do we believe that God is perpetually angry at us, disappointed in us, so that God's love comes and goes according to whether we've been good or bad? Do we believe that God loves us most of all and forever, or that our acceptability is always hanging by a thread, that we could be cut off from love, really, at any time? After all, we might think in our most secret, honest moments, if God truly sees us in ways no one else does, and knows us in ways no one else does, then God knows the truth of just how unworthy of love we are. And so by human measurements, which are the measurements we take of ourselves, why would God love us steadfastly and forever? It's a perpetual struggle to believe in our own worthiness of being loved and then to believe that God would somehow, some way, look past what we quote-unquote deserve and love us anyway, always. But here's the problem with that way of thinking. Love is not like the line on a reel cast out and wound in according to what is biting at that time of day. Love is not poured out from a measuring cup according to a recipe. Love is not an evaluation. Love is not a commodity. We love others, we love our dear ones especially, not because they deserve it or because we've made some calculation, but because that's the way God has made us. God has made us for love. Love that endures, love that climbs over barriers, love that sometimes swims and sometimes floats but never drowns. Love that keeps going, love that takes the heart and offers it up, love that is not conditioned by fear but casts out fear. God's steadfast love endures forever. Do you believe that? I guess it comes down to this. Which of these do you believe determines the forever that sweeps us along? A God whose work is the work of condemnation, or a God whose way is the way of love? What do you think is God's goal? What do you think is God's eternal goal? To reject or to redeem? And what do you believe about how we are made and what we are made for? Are we created for separation, or are we created for communion? For fear or for love? And what is it that lasts? What goes on when all else ends? What is eternal forever? I've told this story before, but I remember some years ago when I went with my pastor's group for the Sustaining Pastoral Excellence program that the Church of the Brethren got funded through a Lilly grant through the seminary. For our immersion trip, my group went to Iona in Scotland, and along the way, we arranged for an afternoon with John Philip Newell in his apartment in Edinburgh. Newell is the former warden of the Abbey at Iona and is now a writer and activist. He's well known for his teaching on Celtic Christianity and for leading retreats and pilgrimages. Anyway, we were sitting in his living room, and we were talking about God's judgment and God's love, and what we believe about the nature of God. And I remember him talking about that moment when he realized that it was unlikely that God would love him any less than his granny loved him. When he was a boy, he said, he knew his grandmother loved him. She wasn't always happy with his choices or his behavior, but she would never have stopped loving him. It wasn't in her nature. No matter, always, his granny loved him. How could it be, he said, that God would love him any less or with any more limits or conditions or any less completely and forever than his own grandmother? What kind of God would that be? Robert Alter, in his translation of the Hebrew Bible, translates the words, "O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever," this way: "Acclaim the Lord, for he is good, for his kindness is forever." So in place of the words steadfast love is the word kindness. Maybe if it's too hard to think of love with all its high hopes and intense feelings as something that can be steadily felt and expressed, then how about this? Kindness that's forever. God's kindness, your kindness, can go on forever. And maybe it is this: we, made in the image of God, are made for kindness. by a God who practices steady, ongoing kindness. Unless you wonder how the word steadfast love in one translation can show up as kindness in another, the Hebrew word could also be translated as loving kindness. Not a phrase we often use, but suggestive of that deep and generous kindness we're talking about. So let's pose the question one more time. God's steadfast love endures forever? Let's agree that the world will not last as it is. Let's agree that you will not stay the same across time. Let's agree that each one of us is mortal. Let's agree that each piece and part of creation has its beginning and its end, its birth and its death. Let's agree that forever is a concept that is, quite frankly, beyond us. We haven't seen forever. We do not know what it looks like. But let's also agree that we know something about love, about loving kindness. We've seen it. We've tasted it. We know that we are made for love. We know that we are living in love, expressing it, feeling it, acting in its ways. We are most truly who we are meant to be when we are being loving. We know that love is what holds us together, draws us closer, heals our wounds, lifts our spirits. And we know that there are experiences of love that we have felt and received and given that have outlasted just about anything else we can even think of or imagine. And we are seeking to know and believe this, that God loves us more than God frowns on us or feels disappointed in us. God loves us easily as much and more than our own grandmother does. God is steadfast in that. Do you believe it? I'll say, I suppose in a way, I guess you could say, it doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. What's true is true. God is love. The commandment that Jesus gave his disciples was to love one another. The first commandment is to love the Lord our God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Love is the best way to be healed, to be held, and this is true as well. Real love, true love, selfless giving, transforming love lasts. It keeps going. It keeps on going. Faith, hope, and love, these three abide, but the greatest of these is love. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for the Lord is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Yes? Yes. Thanks be to God. Amen.